Okay, Deacon Sullivan, why don't you wake us all up with a rousing prayer?
Heavenly Father and Lord, as we gather here to praise and worship you, we thank you for your love and for the grace that you've shown us, Father. We ask that the peace we feel here today be extended over the whole country, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. That's short and sweet and to the point. Yes, it is. Okay, Psalm 100, verse 4. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he hath made me glad. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul panteth after thee. You, O Lord, are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You, O Lord, are my strength, my shield. To you, O Lord, does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning a song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubims and seraphim falling down before thee, who word and art and evermore shall be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see, only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, holy, and holy, merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Oh, your God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Oh, praise the Lord. Good to sing out. It's good for your health, by the way. That's what Scripture says. And, of course, we know that God inhabits the praise of His people. So we know He is here with us, and we're thankful for that. Well, this week I stirred up some activity. I was going to say stirred up a hornet's nest. That's metaphorical. Of course, we know that hornet's nests are easy to be stirred up when they want to bite you to death. And this was actually a writing by Newt Gingrich. Democrats have no idea what demons they are unleashing. And I posted on my Facebook account, my Facebook page, about two particular books, with everyone talking about socialism and communism, two particular books that I have in my library. And one of them is called None Dare Call It Treason by John Storr, and the other is called Towards Soviet America, written by William Zebulon Foster, who actually ran for president. The book, Towards Soviet America, the original plates were destroyed by the American Communist Party because they said to William Zebulon Foster, you're letting the American people know about all our plans of what we're going to do. They're not going to go for that. They're not going to go liberalism, they'd go for, but not communism, not being called communism and socialism. So it's interesting that Newt Gingrich had written this. Democrats have no idea what demons they are unleashing. A few weeks ago, a member of the Democratic Socialists of America, the DSA, wrote an article for Vox explaining the movement's goals to end capitalism and radically change America. In normal times, the declarations of a fringe party and ideology in America would not merit much attention. However, these are not normal times. A new Gallup poll shows that 57% of Democrats have a favorable view of socialism, while only 47% view capitalism positively. This pattern has been building for a while. Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont took socialism mainstream in the party during the 2016 Democratic presidential primaries. Since then, Democratic Party candidates have been increasingly attaching themselves to the ideology. Most notably, a telegenic young member of the Democratic Socialists of America named Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez defeated a senior Democrat in New York City's 14th congressional district and has since been on a whirlwind media tour spreading the gospel of socialism. So the Vox article or manifesto is worth taking seriously. Reading it, I was struck by how remarkably honest it was. The writer, Megan Day, a member of the East Bay chapter of DSA, explicitly debunks the apologists in the mainstream media trying to paper over the group's radicalism. Day quotes several prominent news analysts who argue the democratic socialism is just New Deal liberalism rebranded. She then dumps a bucket of cold water on them, writing that in the long run, democratic socialists want to end capitalism. In fact, she writes that the liberal big government reforms the movement has chosen to rally behind in partnership with the Democratic Party are simply stepping stones to this eventual goal. Social democratic reforms like Medicare for All are, in the eyes of DSA, part of a long, uneven process of building that support and eventually overthrowing capitalism. The explicit goal of ending capitalism makes clear what Ocasio-Cortez meant when she said cryptically in a recent interview that capitalism has not always existed in the world, and it will not always exist in the world. This is a clear threat to the system, which has made us prosperous and the envy of the world, but I appreciate the honesty. Ultimately, the United States is a democratic republic. So I'm not going to continue reading. It's kind of lengthy, but Ms. Cortez, who claims to be from the ghetto, is not at all from the ghetto. She's from Westchester County, New York, and very wealthy. And she actually recently, in one of her town hall meetings, excluded, she wouldn't let the press come in. So you can see what they're heading for. Well, you know, I always like to bring you my quips and quotes on this beautiful August 19th, 2018 AD. In 1968, the Presbyterian apologist Francis Schaeffer wrote in a letter, "We live in an abnormal world, and all kind of things do exist, but this does not make them right." That's very important. In 1859, actually this week, August 12th of 1859, was the birth of Catherine Lee Bates, American English teacher. She had published over 20 books, but is best remembered today for writing the patriotic hymn, America the Beautiful, also known as O Beautiful for Spacious Skies. "It is the manners and spirit of a people which preserve a republic in vigor. A degeneracy in these is a canker which soon eats to the heart of its law and constitution," and that's said by Thomas Jefferson in 1781. "Like a well-armed archer, let us make sure that our quiver has an abundance of these four arrows in it: the arrows of communication, communion, cooperation, and climbing higher." Secularists deny the fact that America's founders established the Bible as the principal text in public education. Fisher Ames, author of the First Amendment and formulator of the Bill of Rights, warned in 1789, "We have a dangerous trend beginning to take place in our education. We're starting to put more and more textbooks in our schools. We've become accustomed of late of putting little books in the hands of children containing fables and moral lessons. We are spending less time in the classroom on the Bible, which should be the principal text of our schools. And there is no safety in distance from God. No man in his senses can hesitate in choosing to be free rather than a slave." Alexander Hamilton, 1774. "A good moral character is the first essential in a man, and that the habits contracted at your age are generally indelible, and your conduct here may stamp your character through life. It is therefore highly important that you should endeavor not only to be learned, but virtuous. American church is in a severe battle with truth decay." "Truth sounds like hate to those who hate the truth. Truth is not an opinion. Truth is based on facts. Those who expect to reap the blessings of freedom must undergo the fatigues of supporting it." And that from Thomas Paine, 1777. "We've got to remember that the primary need of the human race is salvation. And when the people find Jesus Christ, and when entire cultures are transformed by the gospel, things like poverty and exploitation of fellow human beings, those things get worked out. Guard against the impostures of pretended patriotism." George Washington, 1796. "Don't be a problem. Be a solution." Take your Bibles in hand, please. And we are going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 today. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So we'll each read, Sean, how many?
Four.
Very good. And we will start, we start with you, Matt. Read the first four, 1 Corinthians 6.
Corinthians 6, chapter 6, 1 through 4. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law for the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? Corinthians 1, chapter 6, verses 1 through 4.
Good.
Want to go counterclockwise?
Yeah.
Continuing in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. I say this to your shame. Can it be that there is no one among you wise enough to settle a dispute between the brothers? But brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers? To have lawsuits at all with one another is already a defeat for you. Why not rather suffer wrong? Why not rather be defrauded? But you yourselves wrong and defraud even your own brothers. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality. That was 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 4 through 9.
I'm reading from the English Standard Version, Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 12. Or do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed when you were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God, of our God. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything. That was the New English Standard Version, Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 12.
And I'm reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. From the English Standard Version, beginning of verse 13. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food. And God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Oh, do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. And I've just read from 1 Corinthians chapter 6 from verses 13 through 20. Now, obviously a chapter, even though it's only 20 verses, there are quite a few subjects that are being dealt with here. The first that most people would look at, of course, is that when you have a grievance with another person, why do you take it to the law instead of to the saints? And of course, whenever we see saints, sometimes that's misunderstood as those that have been elected as saints through, you know, the Roman Catholic Church. But in this particular rendering, it means all those who believe in Jesus Christ that are saved, they are his saints. So the idea here, of course, why are you going to go into a secular court and you don't know what to expect in their secular court anyway? You might get a good verdict and you might not. Why not take it first to the saints, in other words, to the believers, and present it that way? And of course, that kind of mediation, and I remember one time a neighbor that I had said, well, we'll just have to take it to the judge. I said, no, we'd have to take it to the judge. I'm talking to you about it. Why don't we work it out between ourselves, save the court a lot of time and money and so forth and so on, and that's the right way to do it. So a lot of times people just go by the world system. And of course, we know, as in the quote that I read from Francis Schaeffer, we live in an abnormal world and all kind of things do exist, but this does not make them right. And so we have to ask ourselves those questions quite frequently. You know, is this the right thing to do? And of course, we have to say by what standard has it become right or wrong? And of course, the idea of don't be a problem, be a solution. So always in our hearts, we want to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. But I think the focus we want to make today in particular is centered around verse 12 and subsequently verse 19. So all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. And actually, if I use the theme, not under the power of any, which comes from the King James translation, I actually like the English Standard Version here, is that I will not be dominated by anything. By anything. And of course, with I will not be dominated by anything, I will not be dominated by anybody. You know, the idea of not having the, and then we go back to Acts chapter 5, that we ought to obey God rather than man, is not a statement of rebellion, it's a statement of ultimate obedience. And it's here is the same thing. I will not be dominated by anything. I'm not going to let any kind of drug, any kind of food, any kind of attitude, or any kind of anything or anybody, you know, I'm not going to be dominated by them. And of course, the idea is Americans, and Kathy and I were discussing this morning a little bit about how certain countries of the world, like Australia and Germany, require that people vote. It's a requirement. And I said that wouldn't go over very well in America, because we are a country of people, for the most part, and it's changing rapidly, who have appreciated the freedom to choose. And of course, the fact is, what's being said here, all things are lawful to me. Okay, it's not against the law for you to drink. It's not against the law for you to go out and have sexual immorality and all those things. It's not against the law. It's against God's law, but isn't necessarily against man's law. But we have also read in the same chapter, at verse 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers, will inherit the kingdom of God. As such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And so it's not unlawful to do those things, at least by today's laws in our country, but it is not expedient. And of course, the way the English Standard puts it, but not all things are helpful. So as we look in the mirror, as we've talked about before, and we want to be part of the solution and not the problem. Okay, what is it that I'm doing? And of course, I mean, how would we be an idolater? There are people that have actually get down on their knees and worship some statue. That would be idolatry. But there's another type of idolatry too. We idolize one person's opinion over another. We idolize our own opinion over the truth. And of course, as I stated, that the church is going through a terrible disease called truth decay. And of course, the truth seems a hate crime to those that hate the truth. And so when we're reading scripture and we find out these things are lawful to do, but it's not helpful, and that we won't be dominated by anything. And that's not a statement of rebellion. It's not a statement of arrogance. It's not a statement of, gee, I'm such a rebel, nothing's going to dominate me. But the truth of the matter is, without the help of the Lord, and that's why the scripture we just finished reading about in verse 11, and such were some of you before you were washed. So the idea of judging someone else, and of course when you have a grievance against another, does he dare go to law before the unrighteous instead of the saints? And do you not know that the saints will judge the world? This is what's coming to pass. And so if we don't even have enough judgment to be able to judge ourselves, to say, okay, I'm doing things that are not wise to do, they're not prudent, they're not good, they're not helpful, and I won't be dominated by anything. And that's like putting on the suit of armor in spiritual warfare that we read in Ephesians 6. And putting on the helmet of truth. And so the helmet of truth protecting our minds. I will not be dominated by anything. And of course the enemy, of course, and we were discussing this week, and we were reading in Romans chapter 7. And we read through it many, many times. And of course the idea of the fact that, does the enemy leave you alone? Probably, if you're doing what he wants you to do, and you're doing the things that this whole list is here, and other lists in the Bible that we're not supposed to be doing, he'll leave you alone. He'll be glad you're doing that. Now, who's he going to attack? He's going to attack the person that has made this statement. I'm not under the power of any. Or as it says here in the English Standard, I will not be dominated by anything. Now, we're not going to be able to withstand that on our own. Anyone that says, oh, I can do this on my own, I don't need help, I'll defeat this, I'll beat this, I'll defeat and beat. No, you won't. Not on your own. Not on your own strength. And of course, we're told, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, but you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. So when you think, okay, and of course this is the big argument about abortion, the woman saying, my body is my own. Well, no, it isn't your own. According to Scripture, you've been bought with a price. And the Holy Spirit, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So you think, okay, are there things, if you were looking at a building, a church building, And, you know, this is a holy place. You can't come in here and sit in the front row and be chewing bubble gum and spitting it on the floor. And, you know, you can't come in here and be smoking in here or drinking in here or whatever else. You can't do it because this is a holy place. But the Lord is saying, okay, the holy place is us, in us. And it's interesting to say, you know, is the Lord alive in you? He said, well, the Lord is in me. Yeah, but is he alive in you? Is he alive in you, or is the Lord in you and he's just kind of dead right now? Not to say that we give life to the Lord or whatever, but he's like, okay, I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you to recognize that you will not be dominated by anything. And why is that? Not because you're arrogant, not because you're, you know, got a great ego or anything like that, because you understand that you are the property of Jesus Christ. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Why would you want to destroy it? It's just like, you know, kids and the way, for example, Cain and Abel. Why did Cain kill Abel? Because he was jealous that his brother was accepted of the Lord. Why? Because he brought him a simple sacrifice and he was honest. But Cain didn't like that, so he decided he had to destroy his brother. Cain was working the devil's work by killing his brother. And then the Lord said, where's your brother? What, am I my brother's keeper? What an arrogant thing to say to God. And then the Lord said, even his blood cries out from the ground where you spilt it. Because the enemy wants to destroy the righteous. He wants to destroy all righteousness in our society, and that's what's happening. And of course, the idea of releasing the demons, as Newt Gingrich said, the Democrat Party and the socialists and the communists, they are releasing. And if you read the book Towards Soviet America, it is scary. And it was written in 1932.
Only 10 years after communism started.
Well, communism started way before that. Yeah. The Tower of Babel is actually the beginning of communism on Earth. And, of course, it's taken many forms and many different people, like, you know, Trotsky and Karl Marx and, you know, all the different ones, Lenin, so forth. All of them, who was influencing them? The enemy, because of course he didn't want, I mean, capitalism is the biblical form. It really is. And so think about that this week, of what things are dominating you and how you can get free of that. I mean, setting the standard in our minds of knowing that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that do a lot good for us, so that we're not part of the problem, we're part of the solution. Praise God. Father, we know there's a lot of things going on in our country and in our world today, and we certainly pray for our president and our vice president, all the cabinet meetings that have been going on this week and so forth, all the things that are being said, and that the truth is coming out about what the agenda is for the Democrat Party, and we're not being partisan politics in that. It's not that we're, you know, there's certainly many people within the Republican Party that aren't much for the Republic, and many of the people that are in the Democratic Party that aren't much for democracy. So it's, those can be just words that are manipulated. So help us to understand the truth, that because we do love the truth. And why do we love the truth? Because you are the truth, Jesus, and we love you. And we praise you and thank you in your holy name. And truly, we will have no other king but King Jesus. And as William Blackstone said in his book on common law, American was started with those kind of concepts. Those are our original principles, and we'd like to get back to them. That is revival. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.